All right, I've dialed in via telephone to see if Richard Lustig can hear me so we can get our call underway. Richard, are you there?
Now I can hear. Yeah, it was silence there for a long time. I thought we had lost everybody.
Nope. I appreciate you being patient with us so we can get the call underway. And as I mentioned, and you weren't able to hear me, we gave you a glowing introduction and talked about how you've both hit the lottery game grand prizes 7 times and dozens of smaller prizes. But you've also managed to hit the lottery in terms of media exposure with all this great media, including national and local media, both nationally and internationally. And I know that there are lots of speakers on the call, and there's some things you're going to want to ask the speakers themselves as we get into the call. If you do have a question either about Richard's winning lottery method or about how he's hit the media lottery, or you have a question for me as the guest match chief media strategist, you'll want to hit #2 and raise your hand, your virtual hand, and then we'll get some questions out there for you as the call continues. Brian Kaplowitz is at Speaker Match and Guest Match Central and is controlling the call today. So we'll hold calls for a couple of minutes, but dive right into things. Richard, if you could briefly explain to the people on the call today, the folks who are listening and also the ones who will listen to the podcast later, about this winning lottery method, how that was developed over time and sort of the beginnings of your winning the lottery.
Well, 22 years ago, when the Florida lottery came to Florida, or the lottery came to Florida, I was like everybody else, having dreams of winning big money, and started playing the lottery. And basically, like everybody else, had no idea what I was doing, and 99% of the time losing. And did that for a while, and I finally took a step back and said, "Wait a minute, you know, there's got to be something you can do to give yourself a better chance. I mean, this is crazy. I'm basically just throwing money down a black hole." So I started making notes. Well, what if I did this, and what if I did that, and blah, blah, blah. And some of the things I came up with didn't work. Of course, I threw those out the window. And some of the things I came up with did work, and all of a sudden I found myself starting to win. Now, nothing big, but at least winning regularly and seeing better results than what was happening before. So I kept working on my method, kept coming up with more ideas. Again, some worked, some didn't, until I won my first lottery game grand prize. Now, I got to admit, at that time, I, like pretty much everybody else, said, "Oh, I'm a lucky guy, I won the lottery, blah, blah, blah," you know. Then I won my second one, then my third. When I won my fourth one, that's when I knew that I had something. I had a method, whatever it was, you call it. No one else still believed me. Everybody said, "Boy, you're just a really lucky guy to win 4 times," whatever. Was when I won number 5 that people really all of a sudden started, you know, saying, "Wait a minute, you know, nobody could win 5 times. That can't be luck. You know, you're doing something. What's your secret?" And so I started telling people, "Well, this is what I do and this is what I don't do." And I did that for a short period of time, and I said, "Wait a minute. You know, I've been doing this for years. It's taken me a long time to develop this, and it's now working. Why should I just give it away?" So I basically haphazardly wrote down what I was doing. It came out to about a 7-page report. And so when people would ask me, "What's your secret?" I would say, "Well, for $30, you can buy my 7-page report," and explains what I do. Really not expecting anybody to buy it.
Sure.
But I was shocked. People were tripping over themselves to give me the $30 to buy my secret. When I won number 6, my teenage son comes out and says, "Dad, you're missing the boat," because by now people are just like hounding me. I mean, when I won number 6, people are just coming out at me from all angles, wanting to buy my method. "I heard you've won, and you have a method, you're selling it, and I want to buy it." So my teenage son says to me, "Dad, you're missing the boat." And I says, "What do you mean, Nick?" And he says, "You need to write a book." And I go, like, "Nick, I can't write a book. I'm not an author. What are you talking about?" Well, he kept hounding me and hounding me and hounding me. Meanwhile, I'm selling this 7-page report for $30 without even a blink of the eye. So I sat down and said, "Okay, let me see what I can do here." So I looked over my 7-page report, realized there were things I could explain in more detail, make it easier to understand, and there were things that I had developed since I had come up with the 7-page report a year or two before that, at that point, that weren't in the report. So I started compiling all this together, and lo and behold, before I knew it, I had a 25-page manuscript. And I go, like, "Wow, I can write a book." So I started shopping for a book deal. And meanwhile, people are also asking me, "Do you have a website?" Which I didn't have for my lottery method. So I put up a website. Now I'm getting orders off the website, too. And then lo and behold, on August 9th of 2010, I'll never forget the date because it's 8-9-10, I hit number 7. Well, that's when everything just went bananas. The book came, we got the book finally published. The media was, I mean, I was being approached by local media, statewide media, national media, international media, radio, television, newspapers. I mean, I've been on so many programs and had and done so many interviews in the last 4, 5, 6 months. It's been amazing.
And the whole story is amazing. And you know, one of the things that I find interesting is that this method that you've developed and that the media wants to talk to you about, this is not a very difficult, long, time-consuming thing. And as a matter of fact, people have taken shots at you. I've seen, you know, on the blogosphere, well, gosh, this is, you know, it's like a children's book. It's a 40-page book. Well, that's because it's not a difficult thing to do. And you don't have necessarily, I guess, a secret sauce or a magic pill. A lot of this is good, researched, common sense information. So you're not guaranteeing people that they can win the lottery, correct?
No, I'm not guaranteeing people can win the lottery. In fact, yes, you're right. People have taken some shots at me. And one of the things I hear a lot is, well, there's guys out there that have books for sale at lottery systems or whatever, and they're only $9.95 or $19.95 or $29.95. And I say, folks, you know what? It's like anything in life. You get what you pay for. I said, don't take my word for it. Do some research. Check out, first of all these people out there that had these so-called lottery systems that they sell, these books and programs or whatever. And you will find, first of all, that 99% of these people have never won a grand prize. So how can they be selling, I don't care what price it is, how could they be selling a system or a method or whatever they call it that they claim will guarantee you, and then some of them make guarantees, will guarantee you that you will win the lottery when they've never won. I wouldn't use their method even if it was free. And there are a couple of people out there who do have a book out or whatever that have actually won, but they've only won once or twice. So now all of a sudden they're an expert. I've won 7 lottery game grand prizes, and I tell people, don't believe me either. Go on the Florida Lottery website, flalottery.com. I have no control over that. That has nothing to do with me. That's the official Florida Lottery website. Do some research. The gentleman who interviewed me for the Orlando Sentinel, which I was totally shocked when the story came out, they put me on the front page of the Orlando Sentinel, which is the main newspaper here in Central Florida. He went on the Florida Lottery website, and he took the time and did the research, and he found every single one of my 7 lottery game grand prizes on the website. So I tell people, there you go. And yes, I made it very simple on purpose. On purpose. I tell people, you don't need a dictionary when you read my book. You don't need a calculator. I made it easy and simple to read on purpose because I want people to understand it. I want people to follow it and win. I want people to win. I'd love to hear success stories from people who are winning who follow my method.
And one of the things that Richard has done, by the way, if you get a chance to visit his website, winninglotterymethod.com, is he encourages people to write in when they do win, and those are the testimonials that he shares. And I think that's very applicable to the speakers and the media pros that are on the call today. You want to be able to back it up whenever you make a claim, even an outrageous claim, like I've hit the lottery 7 times. Richard has the proof on his website, and also lots of testimonials from other people who have won. And I know there was a couple that actually hit for a couple of $1 million that followed your system, and there were several others, correct, that were winners?
Oh, yes, and I tell people when they go to my website, again, winninglotterymethod.com, there's different pages they can click on to get different kinds of information, and one of them is is what people are saying about my book, and every one of those testimonials on that page are real. These are not things we made up just to sell books. Every one of those are real people who have written to me. The three that are my favorite are, I have a radio host in Pensacola, Florida, who interviewed me, and during the show, I gave away one of my tips, one of my ways to increase your chances, and it has to do with scratch tickets. At the end of the show, before we went off the air, he said to me, you know, folks, I'm going to put Richard's method to the test. When I go out, I get off the air tonight, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy scratch tickets exactly like Richard says you're supposed to do it, and we'll see if it works. He called me the next day, and he says, Richard, would you be willing to be on my show again today? And I go like, well, sure. I said, did you go out and buy the tickets? He said, yes, I did. I said, what happened? He said, well, I'll tell you on the show tonight. So we went on the show that night, and on the air, he says, folks, I followed Richard's method last night, and it works. I hit on 2 of the tickets that I bought last night. The second story is the gentleman. I have a gentleman in Kansas City, Missouri. His name is Jason. He recently, he followed my method, and he recently hit a $10,000 winning ticket by following my method. And then the third, which is the biggest one, which is what you just related to, Burke, I have a couple in Tampa, Florida, who followed my method exactly as I spell it out, and they hit a $2 million jackpot.
Wow. Richard Lustig is our guest. If you're dialing in late for the call or listening online, Richard is a seven-time lottery game grand prize winner. He's a member of GuestMatch.com and has done dozens of media appearances. And we wanted to talk to him both about his winning lottery method, but also how he's been able to monetize this free media. So, you know, you're new to this, and you were teasing us before the call began that you're a dinosaur, so you couldn't Skype into the call. Not necessarily a technologically savvy guy, but you do know how to monetize things. And without giving away any figures, tell our listeners, our speaker, who are primarily speakers on the call, when you do a major media appearance, let's say you did the Fox and Friends national TV show, what happens after that appearance?
Sales go through the ceiling. I'm going to tell you right now, anybody who is out there trying to sell a product, which is basically what I assume most of our listeners are, people that are selling some sort of a product, media is a gold mine. Anytime you can do interviews, I don't care if it's a small little AM station in Podunk, Georgia, or whatever, or a major national program like I was on Good Morning America and so forth and so on. Every time I do one of those, it benefits because you don't ever know who's listening, how many people are listening. And to me, doing those interviews on newspapers, magazines, radio, television, whatever, is priceless. It's priceless for whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Richard has generated millions of dollars in lottery winnings and also millions of dollars in free media exposure. He mentioned Good Morning America. For our speakers and our media guests that maybe haven't done a big national appearance like that, like Good Morning America, very quickly, tell our listeners how that came to be and what actually happened when you appeared on Good Morning America.
Good Morning America was an unusual one. It was the week that the Mega Millions game, which is a multi-state lottery game, had reached an astronomical figure of 350-something million, whatever it was. So when something like that happens, these media people are looking for people to interview who they may feel are experts in that particular area, that subject. So having, of course, at this point been all over media, again, radio, television, newspapers, whatever, all over the country and actually around the world, they reached out to me. Good Morning America reached out to me and said, we would like to get you on the show to talk about the upcoming Mega Millions drawing and what your feelings are and blah, 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 blah. And that's how I ended up doing that. Now, that particular one was they contacted a crew, a camera crew and so forth here in Orlando where I'm based, and within 2 hours this was set up. It was amazing how fast they did this. I met with the crew and the local producer and everything at the store where I buy my tickets, and we shot a whole bunch of footage and then they edited it, of course, down, and then the next morning it aired on Good Morning America.
And that piece also, by the way, for our listeners, aired in different local markets all over the country. So ABC television stations were able to pick up that story and reuse chunks of it on their local newscast, and they did all over America. And you can find that story on the Internet. Now, one of the interesting things that I found from that piece, Richard, is that they filmed you in Orlando, and they cut it together with a host who actually was in Los Angeles. They had him go into a store that looked very much like the store that you were in Orlando, buy a ticket, and it looked as if he was interacting with you, but in fact that wasn't the case. And they actually shot a lot of footage in this particular piece that they didn't use, correct?
Yes, there was. My advice to, again, those of you who are listening who are not that experienced yet in doing media interviews, especially when it comes to radio and television, I always prefer to do live over taped. I would much rather do a live interview because that's live, it's there, it's on, you have a certain percentage of control over the interview, as the interviewee, the person that's being interviewed. When you do a taped one, and Good Morning America was a good example, when I was talking to the producer in New York, who contacted me to set this up, they wanted me to kind of say and do something on the interview that I was not comfortable with. I said, that's not how my method works. I don't want to really do that, blah, 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 blah. So we ended up, unfortunately, it was a verbal agreement, that I would do what they were asking me to do, but that they would film me with stating a disclaimer, that this is not part of my method. We are basically doing this just for fun, just to have some fun with this, and blah, 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 blah. And the second part of our verbal agreement was that they would not edit that disclaimer out, and they would air it as part of the piece. And unfortunately, the next morning, that isn't what happened. They totally cut it out, and I was a little upset about that. But you know what? You got to go with the flow.
Sure. It's free publicity, and it's an appearance on Good Morning America.
The value of being on Good Morning America was still phenomenal. You know, it was still phenomenal. There's no doubt about that.
My old friend Richard Lustig is our guest today on this very special edition of Speaker Match Radio. He's a guest match member and has done just tons of national media. And one of the things I like about working with you, Richard, is that you're very ethical in that you don't make claims that are contrary to sort of your core being. And that may sound counterintuitive for a guy that sells lots of books for winning the lottery, but you're really, really all about drawing a line in the sand whenever media people ask you to do something or say something that you're uncomfortable with.
It's funny. I've been in the entertainment business all my life. I spent the 60s and 70s as a performer touring the country. In the early 80s, I started my talent agency, which I have now, which is Lustig Talent. We book national acts. And I preach this to my agents all the time. Look, when you're talking to a potential buyer that's looking to buy an act from you, make sure that whatever you tell them is the truth. Because I guarantee you, I don't care if it's a stupid little white lie that you think they didn't really even listen to you when you said it, it can come back and bite you. So yes, when I'm doing these media interviews about my method, I tell them exactly what it is. This is what it is. This is the truth, blah, 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 blah. I do not guarantee people they're going to win a grand prize. If I did that, I'd be lying. And if people believed me, they would be foolish. Okay? And unfortunately, there are some lottery books out there that in their advertising campaigns, because I've seen them, they say, you know, follow this system and we guarantee you're going to win at 98% of the time or blah, 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 blah. And that's a bunch of hogwash. So, yeah, I try to be extremely careful about that stuff. I want people to believe what I'm saying, because the first time they find out I've said something that's not the truth, that's going to be damaging.
Richard Lustig is a guest match member, and along with having your listing there on the online media kit, one of the things that you do with our firm, of course, is do lots of outbound reach to the media. So although some media has come to you primarily because they have heard you or seen you in other media, you also do lots of outbound media stuff. Along with the work that you do with us, what would you suggest to speakers who may not have the resources to work with Allen Media Strategies or another PR firm? What can they do on their own to drum up interest?
Well, that's a tough question because I've kind of got an advantage over most people because, again, I've been in the entertainment business for over 40 years. I've got a phenomenal database. So actually, in conjunction with what you just said, Bert, I highly recommend that you try to figure out a way to afford a PR firm of some sort. Bert, your company, and I'm not saying this just because you and I are friends, Burke's company has done a phenomenal job for me, has gotten me tons of interviews. Those are so valuable. So, you know, whatever you pay for them, of course, there's some people that are probably charging stupid money. But if you find someone like Allen Media Strategies that's reasonable in their fees, it's very valuable. But if you can't afford that, I don't know what to say to people that, because, again, I have an advantage because I have a database of media people because I've been involved in the entertainment business. I mean, I've got radio stations, television stations, newspapers, magazines, not only throughout the United States, but in countries all over the world. So in conjunction with the PR firm out there banging away to get me interviews. I was sending out, and I still do so today, send out flyers, faxes, emails, and I use both faxes and emails, by the way. Even though there are people out there say that I want nothing to do with email, I'm kind of one of those people, or there's people out there that say I don't want nothing to do with faxes, believe me, you can't over, in my opinion, you can't oversaturate. I'd rather them get it twice, get the fax and the email from me than not get either one. And pounding those flyers out about myself and the lottery method and the book has also gotten me tons of interviews.
Well, I think that's a great tip. And one of the great advantages in the internet age is that all radio stations, television stations, and print outlets now are very forthcoming with email addresses for their reporters, for their anchors, for their producers, for the on-air host. And if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and do a little research, you can begin to develop those databases like Richard has down through the years with his entertainment business. And, you know, it's just fine to target a specific market and start small and build those up. And if you can take the time to you know, find 10 email addresses that make sense for you as a speaker in terms of generating free media exposure every day, do 10 a day, pretty soon you'll have a very sizable database. One of the things, Richard, that you're really good about that our listeners can do for free to exponentially increase their chances of getting interviews is that you always make yourself available. Talk to me about that, about your availability, no matter the size of the market or the time of the day, and how that's made a difference.
Absolutely. In fact, there was a story I heard about a person who had written a book, and the PR firm was, you know, working on getting them interviews and stuff. So they would call him, okay, we got an interview for you on such and such a day, and such and such, oh, that's too early in the morning for me. I don't want to do that. Or that's too small of a market. I don't want to do that one. You know, that's crazy. Yes, I make myself, I'm available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's literally the truth. I have gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do an interview for a radio station in Germany or France or whatever, because they're 7 hours ahead of us. So 3 o'clock in the morning here, you know, is 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning in that country. When I did the Today Show in Australia, now they're 13 hours ahead of us. So I had to drive downtown Orlando Friday evening in rush hour traffic, which is no fun, to go to the ABC affiliate, because the show was done remotely by satellite, but it was live because I'm there at 6 o'clock, I think it was at night, and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, something like that, live on the Today Show in Australia. So yeah, sometimes it's a little bit of an inconvenience, but believe me, the media is not going to chase you very far. If you're not going to make it easy for them and convenient for them, then they're not going to mess with you. And the one thing you don't want to do, is, if you can help it, is piss off the media, because the media can be your best friend. It can also be your worst enemy. So absolutely, I don't care what day of the week it is, weekday, weekend, holiday. I don't care if it's middle of the day, good time, bad time, middle of the night. If I've got an opportunity to do an interview, I'm going to do that interview.
You've also had a reasonable success, I think, Richard. And by the way, that's great advice. You've had reasonable success with the media in getting something that an awful lot of folks don't get, and that is that you've been asked back repeatedly by some pretty major outlets. I remember Sirius XM and the Jay Thomas Show asked you back. You were asked back, I think, by Fox News Channel.
Sirius asked me back. There was a station in New York. I can't remember the gentleman's name off the top of my head right now, but it was a major radio station in New York. They asked me back. And, yeah, Fox, that was a surprise. Now, again, being in the entertainment business all my life, I've got a little more savvy about what goes on with the media and stuff than most people do, because I've been involved with the media all my life with the entertainment business. And a show like Fox and Friends, which is a national news program on a national major network like Fox, they don't, if you were a guest involving something in regards to a national disaster or a major political thing that's going on or whatever, yeah, they might have you back once or twice or three times or whatever. But my kind of subject is what's called a human interest story. And human interest stories are most of the times for those kinds of networks and those kind of programs are used as fillers. So they'll invite you, you go on the show, and they ask you a few questions. It's hi, bye, thank you very much for having you on the show. Don't call us again. Well, when I did, when Fox contacted me to do the interview, I mean, and they went first class, too. They sent a car to pick me up and everything. And they picked me up like at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was to go to the local Fox affiliate station here in Orlando because it was done by satellite. And we did the interview. And when we were done with the interview, now I'm sitting in a studio in Orlando, the host and everything I think were in New York, and you've got an earpiece in your ear and you've got a mic on your a clip to your lapel of your jacket. And when you get done and everybody says, thank you very much, goodbye, the local PA, production assistant, will come over and take your earpiece and take your mic out. Well, before he even had a chance to do it, the producer in New York said to me, Richard, are you still on? I said, yes, I am. She said, tell the local people not to de-mic you yet. We want to talk to you. I said, okay. So when the guy was walking over, I said, wait a minute, they're still on with me. They want to talk to me off camera about something. So she comes back on a second later. She says, we got to tell you something. She said that everybody in the studio in here in New York was absolutely dead silent. You could hear a pin drop. People were looking at each other and saying, no wonder I've not been winning the lottery. I've been doing it all wrong. Your interview was so interesting and so captivating. We would like you to come back on tomorrow morning again. And that's like unheard of. I mean, that's like never happens. I've never experienced or heard of that happening with a public interest story like this, you know, human interest story. So they had me back on the next day, sent a car to pick me up again and so forth and so on. So, and that was just like, again, that's priceless. That's priceless.
Wow. And Richard Lustig has done, you know, dozens of these interviews around the country now. And, you know, if you're a speaker and you're listening, there's something to be said for Richard's entertainment background and making these interviews entertaining. Now, since we have a lot of speakers who are listening, I would assume that most of them don't have stage fright or else they wouldn't be public speakers. But your entertainment background that you've alluded to a couple of times, how has that helped you, in your opinion, to be a better interview guest? And as a follow-up to that question, what tips would you give to the people who are listening on the call about being an entertaining guest that'll get asked back like that?
You got to remember something, that especially radio and television, but even newspapers and magazines, whatever, they have to present a product to their viewers, their listeners, their readers, that their viewers, listeners, or readers are going to want to pay attention to and listen to. So if you're boring and you're drab and you're too technical, you're going to lose them. I'm not saying act like an idiot. I'm not saying act like a dummy. But you got to keep it simple and easy so anybody can understand what you're saying. You got to be up-tempo about it all the time. Joke around with them. One of the things that I do, like, for instance, when I'm going to do a radio interview, I will listen, I'll go online, get the station online on my computer for about 10, 15 minutes at least, sometimes longer, before I'm scheduled to go on the air. So I can hear what kind of show it is, what kind of host that I'm going to be talking to, what their subject matters have been, so I can throw in a little, yes, I was listening to you 10 minutes ago, that was really funny what you said about blah, 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 blah. That makes that host feel really good because he knows that you're listening to him. You weren't just concerned about just coming on and plugging your product and going, you know? So you've got to be up-tempo. You got to be exciting. But you also got to get your message across. And sometimes that gets a little difficult. Let's face it, again, most of the people I'm sure who are listening right now are selling a product. And that's why you're doing these interviews is you want to sell your book or your set of tapes or whatever it is that you're selling. So you've got to get that message across, and you've got to do it in a way where you don't sound like you're a hardcore salesperson. All you care about is, yeah, just buy my book or just buy my tapes or whatever. So you got to. I don't know how to tell you how to do that. I've been doing it for so long that it's just natural for me. But believe me, in the beginning, you might stumble around. You might make some mistakes or whatever. But if you learn from your mistakes and you listen to other interviews that people do, believe me, even if you've never done an interview, if you listen to some interviews on some talk shows and whatever, you yourself will say, boy, that guy was really boring. It's like, man, I couldn't wait till he was done talking. And then the other guy, you'll say, wow, that was really cool. That was interesting. I'm glad I listened to that. So learn from those things and apply the things that, in your opinion, worked, and the things that didn't work, don't do them.
And it certainly is a skill that can be taught, and the more interviews you do, the better you'll get at them, and the more you'll be able to monetize them, which Richard has done very successfully, and has sold thousands of dollars now of lottery method books along with hitting the lottery itself. And there is some control things that you can do to set up those interviews in advance. And frankly, you know, Richard and our work with him, sometimes we've made missteps. I know you did a national television interview with a show called The Daily Buzz, and in that interview, they didn't use the graphic of the book jacket or your website in the graphic crawl in that interview, and consequently, you receive much fewer orders for the book than you did, you know, Fox and Friends, where they put your website right there on the screen. I'm remembering that correctly, right?
I think so. Wasn't that one where they didn't even air it live? It was taped. Was that taped?
I think so.
Was that live? I don't remember. Yeah, again, yeah, that happens. Unfortunately, that happens. Like the Good Morning America story, where they didn't air what they had agreed to air, the part about my disclaiming that this wasn't really part of my method or whatever, we were just doing it for fun. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't go quite the way you want it to. And even if it happens while you're in the middle of the interview and you know something is not going quite the way you wanted it to, you can't lose your cool. You can't lose your composure. You can't your composure. You can't get upset with these people because, again, the media can be your best friend, but it can be your worst enemy. So advancing an interview is important, too. I call whenever I have the opportunity, which is most of the time, I will call like the day before to confirm the interview for tomorrow with the time and this and that. And there's key questions that I will ask, like with radio, I'll ask what kind of a format is it? Is it a music format? Is it a news talk format? And if it's music, what kind of music? Because, again, learning to talk to different types of people in different ways is important. Some people you want to slow down a little bit, not talk quite as fast as maybe some other place where you want to talk very quickly because otherwise you're going to lose their attention. So you have to learn, and again, unfortunately, the only way to learn is experience, is you got to learn what you can do to make that interview as successful as possible.
I think that's great advice, and one of the things that you really preach is that you should do these small market outlet interviews, the small town radio station, the small town newspaper. Is that one of the reasons so that you can get practice?
That's certainly not a bad idea. I mean, yeah. If you do the small ones, let's face it, even if you totally botch it up, better to botch up, and I absolutely don't mean any offense to the small radio station in the middle of nowhere, but better for you to botch up a small radio interview in the middle of at a station in the middle of nowhere than to botch up a radio interview with a major nationally syndicated radio show.
Yep, I think that makes sense. And one of the reasons, Richard, that we tell our clients to do those small market outlets as well is that you never know when the small market guy is going to wind up in a big national position, and he'll remember that you remembered him when he was in that small town. So it's all about developing those relationships. Richard Lustig is our guest today on the special free guestmatch.com teleseminar. If you've got a question and you'd like to ask it, if you hit #2, you can raise your virtual hand, and Brian Kaplowitz, who's at Mission Control, will let us know the question, and we'll be happy to answer that for you. Richard, there's one thing that you do after every media interview that is kind of unique. I think it sets you apart from a lot of other media guests. Would you share that with the folks on the call?
Absolutely. I went out and had postcards made, and on usually on a postcard on one side it's got a picture of the Eiffel Tower or whatever, and then on the other side it's got the blank area where you write, hey, wish you were here, having a great time, and then you put the address and whatever. So what I did was I had a postcard made. On one side it's the cover of my book.
Okay.
And on the other side, I write on the left-hand side where you can put your message, I always say, thanks, Bob, for having me on your show, blah, 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 and then I address it to him. My little line tag right now is, thanks for having me on your show, let's do it again when I win #8. And then I address it to them, and I send that to them. Number one, they get very few of those from people. You know, it's like most people, you know, they do the interview and they're gone, bye. It's like Bert just said, and he brought up such a great point. Some of these guys, you know, they're trying to advance their careers too. So if they're a talk show host on a small radio station, believe me, most of the times, they're also working at bettering their career to try to get on a bigger station somewhere or whatever. And if you were a great guests to have on their show. And a few days to a week after they were on, you were on their show, they got a postcard from you thanking them for being on the show, whatever. Burke is absolutely right. These guys are going to remember you. And now, when they're on some big network and they're looking for guests, they're going to say, you know what, I need to call that Richard Lustig guy. Man, he was great. He was a great person to interview. He was fun. He was exciting. And he remembered me. He sent me a thank you card. You know, I'm sure some of the people I send these cards to, it goes in the garbage can. Hey, whatever. But some of them, they might put it up on their bulletin board and right there in the studio. And people are walking in and out of the studio, and they're seeing the card. And guess what? There's more advertising.
I think that's fantastic, and many radio stations now are owned with other stations, and so, you know, that card may be seen by the staff of five or six other radio stations, and sometimes they're co-owned with TV stations and newspapers as well. Great advice, and by the way, I've been corrected, and thank you, Brian, for that. It is *2 to raise your virtual hand, *2, not *2 if you have a question, and we have a caller now from Sun City, California. Sun City, California, you're on with multi-lottery winner Richard Lustig. Hello.
Hello, Richard. This is Danny Martin with Insights Foundation.
Oh, Danny, how are you today?
Oh, absolutely marvelous. Great hearing your insights in that you have been able to make a success of this. One of my questions is, part of what I do is relief of emotional trauma pain. So I do grief counseling. So that's a lot of what I have to deal with is really on the sad side. Other parts pulling people up to the happy, emotional, thriving side, that really interests people. But the other part catches their heart and pulls them in. But finding the balance in between that and to be able to promote our emotional thriving program out there. A lot of the techniques I do, it's really being able to see and follow through with the breathing techniques and tapping techniques, understanding people. I'm kind of at a loss at how to present that in an interview, and such as on the teleconferences and direct phone and radio.
I think that's a great question. And, Richard, I'd like to dive in on that first if I can.
Oh, good. Save me, because I was trying to think of what I was going to say.
Danny, where I would go with this is to look for topics that are in the news that are hot currently. And by the way, I apologize on the call if anyone else is hearing the slapback in the audio. Danny, if there's a story like, for example, that horrible story in Tucson, Arizona about Congresswoman Giffords. My line dropped off. I apologize. Along with the news angles, the two story types that appeal most in the media, and I've seen the media research projects that back this up, actually, interestingly, appeal to both your topic and Richard's topic. They're heartstrings and purse strings stories. And, you know, while Richard certainly touches on the purse strings, which is, the fear and the economic benefit and the windfall of a lottery, your stories deal with heartstrings a lot. And so as you look for those topical angles, look for ways that you can address what's happening in the news, but with a very positive spin. And most of all, be ready to break it down into short segments. Many of those national TV interviews and even some of the radio interviews are in 3 to 5 minute segments. And if we can be of any more help to you, by all means, send us an email at support@guestmatch.com. I'd be happy to answer any more questions you have.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
We have an email question, Richard, from Tanya. And Tanya asked, do we recommend sending press releases to national wires for local events? And from my standpoint, and I know you do some local book signings there in Orlando, I don't think it makes any sense to send things out to national wires for local events. I think it makes much more sense to concentrate on your local media and cover those up, because what you don't want to do is submit to these national wires and them completely disregard your information and toss it away because it's irrelevant to them. So I would concentrate on your local markets. When you do local Orlando or Central Florida events, how do you promote those within your market, Richard?
Okay. And let me confirm what you just said. I agree with 100%. If you've got a local thing and you send announcements or whatever about that to national media contacts, not only are they going to ignore it, but then they, if they get too many of those from you, they're going to say, man, this guy's always sending me stuff. It has nothing to do with what we're interested in. And you'll start getting a negative reaction from them. So, yeah, concentrate. If it's a local thing, concentrate locally. And what I do is, again, unfortunately, I do have an advantage over most people, is I've got a phenomenal fax and email database system. So if when I'm, like, for instance, I was asked to be a guest speaker at the main Orlando Public Library in downtown Orlando. So they put up posters at all their locations or whatever, and they did a media release thing too, but I also did the same thing. I took all my fax media contact numbers and all my email media contact addresses, and I created a flyer, and I blasted it out to all the people in the area code that I'm in, saying, you know, on such and such a date, I'll be a guest speaker at the main Orlando Library. And as a result of that, doing that guest talk there, which I sold books there, you know, which, again, is what you're doing, they now have asked me to be a guest speaker at three more library branches. I've got two coming up in March, one coming up in April. So, again, I'll be doing the same thing. In fact, I got them to give – they made up the posters. I helped them design a little bit. But then so I had them to give me a stack of the posters, and I went around to places that I just go every day, the Planet Smoothie place and the Sub place and the bank and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I asked people, and most everybody said, sure. And I got them to let me put my posters up, and I did the blast by fax, the blast by email just in the local area, and all that adds up to not only having people attend your event, but also to have maybe some media people show up at your event. In fact, when I did the one for the Orlando Public Library, the Orlando Sentinel sent another person, another news reporter out to cover the story, and a local college newspaper sent out one of their reporters to come and cover the story. So, yeah, that's what you got to do.
And for our speakers who travel and you travel out of town, it makes sense, you know, as you look at your calendar ahead of time, to spend 30 minutes researching the market that you're going to speak in and make sure that you send a media alert, a press release, out to the media outlets in that market, the local newspaper, the local TV, local radio, and see if you can generate some advanced publicity before you get to the market. And also, TV especially, and print as well, they like to cover an event. Sometimes as opposed to have someone in the studio for an interview, so you may be able to get them to come out and shoot the speech that you're giving. We have a few more minutes for questions. If you have any for multi-lottery winner and media lottery winner Richard Lustig, it's *2 to raise your virtual hand, *2 if you have a question. Richard, as I told you, there are lots of speakers who are on the line who are members of Speaker Match Speakers Bureau, and many like you who are guest match members, and they have an online media press kit. You'd like to learn something from the speakers on the call, and what is that? What do you want to learn from speakers?
Actually, the Orlando Public Library event that I did, I was the first one I've done, and now I'm going to be doing some more, and I really had, to be honest with you, I had a lot of fun doing it. I would like to do more. I would like to do more guest appearances where I give a talk. Either it could be one of two formats. It could be where I'm strictly talking about the book and giving them a few little tips about my method, and obviously to hopefully at the end of it sell books and do a guest signing, autograph signing, whatever. Or do maybe a kind of a format where the people are paying to attend, and included in the cost of their attendance fee, they get a copy of the book. And then these are people that now will have the book, and I will walk them through it, explain the whole method to them in detail and so forth. I'd like to learn how to get the opportunity to do more of those. That's an area that I really would love to get into.
Fantastic. If any of you speakers would like to look at partnerships or joint ventures with Richard Lustig, send an email to me at support@guestmatch.com. That's support@guestmatch.com, and I'll get you together with Richard. We have a caller on the line in Arkansas. I think it's Malvern, Arkansas. Kinsey, you have a question for our guest today, Richard Lustig.
Thank you. Richard, I'm wondering if there's any interest in spiritual aspects of a presentation that's interactive. Say, for instance, I have done a play shop where I brought toys and hats and dress-up things in order to help people find their inner joy or their inner purpose or some inner guidance. Is there any interest in that?
Interest in that as far as the public is concerned?
Yeah, how would I be able to get notification that that's available, and is there much market for that?
Well, unfortunately, you don't ever know until you try. Over the years in the entertainment business, I've had some acts where I sent out, you know, flyers and faxes and emails offering a certain act to play at venues or whatever that I thought would make the phones ring off the wall, and it was like a morgue, you know. And then I've put some out there that I said, well, I'll put this out there. I don't really think we're going to get much action on it, and the phone rings off the wall. So if you don't know, unfortunately, till you try. You got to try. If you don't try, you're never going to know. Now, you may go out there and do a heavy push and do some a bunch of interviews and stuff, and nobody's just interested in that at all. And so you gave it a shot. But if you don't do it, you will never know, and you might find that all of a sudden there's a lot of people out there that would be interested in that type of a program. They feel it would benefit them, and they could learn from it. So, you know, I can't, and again, just like we were talking about earlier about being honest and stuff, I can't say to you, oh, yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in that, or no, I don't think anybody would be interested in that at all, because I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but I definitely recommend that you should try to get it out there and see what kind of results you get.
And, Kinsey, I appreciate you being on the call. I can tell you that we work with an awful lot of folks that target children and teens and young adults, and there are literally thousands of media outlets, many of them on the Internet, that target young people. And so, you know, I do think that there are some opportunities there. If you polish your pitch and your presentation, you make yourself available to the media, I think there's probably some upside there, and I do appreciate you listening today. Richard, I can't let you off the line here. This is a little different than a media interview. It's a small group of close friends. Without asking you for at least one tip on increasing your chances to win the lottery, so I'm going to put you on the spot. What one tip can you share with the folks who are listening today?
All right, I'll share the same tip that I share with when I do interviews. And for those of you that are doing guests that are guest speakers out there listening, again, I assume that most of you, when you go do these things, you're trying to sell a book or just a set of tapes or whatever, blah, blah, blah. When I did the Orlando Public Library, one of the best compliments I got from the lady at the library when it was all over and done with, she said, you know, we have a lot of authors come here as guest speakers. And she said, unfortunately, most of them do the same exact thing. When people in the audience ask them about the contents of their book, they don't want to tell them anything because they're just trying to sell the book. So they say, well, it's in my book. She said, you didn't do that. Of course you told them, yes, my book will be for sale at the end of the talk and blah, 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 blah. But you actually gave them some valuable information that they could go out of here and use even if they did not buy your book. So I do that when I do interviews. So I'm kind of sidestepping your question, but I'm going to answer it. But that's another bit of advice that I wanted to throw out there. Don't be afraid to give away a little bit of your information. You know, obviously you don't want to give away your whole product because you're trying to sell it, but give them a little bit to go away with even if they don't buy your book. They will respect you more. The people who are hosting the event that you're at will respect you more, and they'll want you back. So now that I've said that, let me go to give you your answer. The one tip I give as part of my method is about scratch tickets. There's two types of games. There's ball games like Lotto and Powerball, Mega Millions, whatever, and then there's scratch tickets. And here's my advice about how to increase your chances of winning with scratch tickets. I see people go up to the counter all the time, and they say to the clerk, well, let me take one of those and three of those and two of those. It's like, folks, you might as well put on a blindfold, take a loaded gun, and try to hit the target. It's not going to happen. Let's say you're going to spend $20 and you're going to buy $2 tickets, which means you're going to be able to buy 10 tickets. Instead of buying 10 tickets over three or four different games, one of these, three of these, two of these, whatever, pick one game, and there's a way to pick which game, and that is in the book. You go on the website, and I explain how to do that. But you pick one game, you buy all 10 tickets of the same game in a row. I will tell you that 99% of the time, if you do that, you buy 10 tickets in a row of the same game, 99% of the time you're going to find at least one, sometimes two, and maybe even three winning tickets in those 10 tickets.
Excellent advice. All right, very good. And thank you for sharing that. And by the way, I completely agree with what you said about giving away information when you do these media interviews. If you are on TV, radio, print, and you say, it's in the book, it's in the book, they'll never ask you back. So that is bad juju for sure. If you're joining us late, Richard Lustig is our guest today. I'd like for you to grab a pen, and I'm going to give you some valuable information to jot down now. And it is all free, by the way. And for the folks who missed the introduction to our call, Richard Lustig is a 7-time lottery game grand prize winner. He's won millions of dollars, and he's also won millions of dollars in free media exposure to talk about his book, Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery. All right, assuming you have a pen in your hand, jot this down. Richard's website is winninglotterymethod.com. That's winninglotterymethod.com. And I tease Richard a lot that it's not the prettiest website, but at the end of the day, it's worked wonderfully, and he's sold tens of thousands of copies or dollars worth of his books on that website. Here is the phone number that you can call guessmatch.com anytime if you have questions, and we can help you build a better guess match profile. If you have questions about how to generate free media exposure, that toll-free number and a real human being will answer. Quite often, it's me, is 1-800-372-8128, 1-800-372-8128. And you can always email us your questions, your comments to support@guessmatch.com. That's support@guessmatch.com. And if you're interested in talking with Richard Lustig about how you might be able to do a joint venture with him and capitalize on some of this great media exposure he already generates, And in turn, you can help him to generate more speaking engagements. He really enjoys it, and he'd love to hear from you, and we'll be happy to get you guys together. Richard, you've been very gracious with your time. I apologize for the technical challenges on the call today. Thanks for hanging in there with us, and best of luck. When are we going to hit number 8?
I'm ready any time. I'd love to have it today.
Richard Lustig from winninglotterymethod.com has been our special guest today to tell you how you can hit the lottery jackpot and get millions of dollars in free media exposure. For Brian Kaplowitz, I am Guest Match Chief Media Strategist Burke Allen, live in Washington, D.C. Thanks for listening to Speaker Match Radio today, and thanks to our special guest, Richard Lustig from winninglotterymethod.com. Bye, everybody.